bid none of his acquaintance to minister or come unto him. And after certain days, when Felix came with his wife Drusilla, which was a Jewess, he sent for Paul and heard him concerning the faith in Christ. And as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." We'll end our reading at verse 25, and we know that the Lord will bless to us this portion of his own precious word. Tonight I want to speak on the subject called a trembling sinner. In verse 25 of this chapter, at the end of that verse, we have these words falling from the lips of Felix. He said to Paul, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." On a previous occasion, we looked at Paul before King Agrippa, and again tonight we're looking at him before Felix, and once more we find that he is on trial. And of course, every opportunity is seized by this great preacher to preach the gospel and to tell of the saving grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. And Paul was always anxious to get on with this business of preaching the word. And when he is brought before Felix, he is asked to speak for himself. And so Paul started to preach, but it was not the kind of sermon or kind of speech that Felix thought he was going to hear. For Paul preached just the very thing that his hearer or his congregation didn't want him to preach. I trust that I'm not preaching like that tonight, that the congregation don't want me to preach the gospel. Thank God we're here to preach the word of God that we enjoy, and we know in our own experience to be that word that saves our souls and keeps us in the Lord. And so in verse 25, we read here that Paul speaks for himself, and as he reasoned of righteousness, temperance, and judgment to come, Felix trembled and answered, "Go thy way for this time. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And so first of all, tonight I want us to notice this, his personal advantage in hearing the gospel. And then secondly, his painful anxiety as he listened to the gospel. And then thirdly, his procrastinating action as he refuses the gospel. And so first of all, let us look at his personal advantage. Surely Felix had that great personal privilege and the personal advantage of listening to the gospel. He heard it from the lips of the Apostle Paul. And when we consider who Felix was a slave boy, but the Emperor Claudius freed him from slavery and took him to the royal palace. And there in the royal palace, he was educated and elevated to the position of Roman governor. History tells us that Felix was a very evil and wicked person. He exercised his authority at the point of the sword. He was a vile, wicked person. And of course, the history records for us as well that as governor of as a Roman governor, he committed more atrocities than all those before him and those who succeeded him. He was a man who accepted bribes, if you read verse 26, because he expected money to be given to him from Paul. And so therefore he sent for him the oftener, so that he might get this money. And he hoped that money should be given to him of the Apostle Paul. And as well as that, he was an immoral man, because he lived in adultery with Drusilla. Now, Drusilla was not his proper wife. She was one of the daughters of Herod the Great and was married to one of the kings of Arabia. But she forsook her legal husband and she entered into a form of marriage with Felix. And they lived together in an immoral and in a sinful relationship. And so here we see Felix, once a slave boy, now a Roman governor, a wicked, a cruel, an immoral and unclean person, a fornicator and a drunkard, listening to the Apostle Paul as he preaches the Word of God. What a great personal privilege and advantage for such a vile, sinful wretch to listen to the gospel of Jesus Christ from such a preacher as the Apostle Paul. And what did Paul preach to this fellow? What kind of a message did he bring to this man? We read in this verse that he reasoned of righteousness. That's what he preached to Felix, righteousness. Because Felix was such an unrighteous person, and he needed righteousness preached to him. He preached temperance. That's also what he preached to Felix. Felix was a drunkard, a man given to strong liquor, a man given to fits of intemperance. And of course, here we find that Paul preaches temperance to such a man. He needed to hear it. And that's why Paul preached it. He reasoned of righteousness and of temperance to convince Felix of his unrighteousness and of his intemperance, of which he had been notoriously guilty, and that he might see the sinfulness of his own heart, that he might see the exceeding sinfulness of his own life, and repent and turn from it and receive Christ by faith into his life and be saved. And when the Word of God is faithfully preached in the power of the Holy Spirit, it really exposes sin. And that's exactly what it did for Felix. It exposed his sin. It exposed him as an unrighteous, immoral, drunkard and sinner. A man who stood in great need of a Savior and of deliverance from the grip and from the bondage of sin. It may well be that in our service tonight, there's no one here like Felix. But you're still a sinner, perhaps. You haven't been going down to the same deep excesses of sin as Felix had been going. As we say back at home, perhaps, maybe you're walking the clean side of the broad road that takes you down to hell and to destruction. You equally stand tonight in need of a Savior, in need of someone to deliver you from perishing, someone to rescue you from the flames of torment, someone to save your precious soul and to bring you the peace and tranquility of heaven and the peace of God which passes all understanding. And for you also, your sins need to be exposed. The sin of unbelief, the sin of rebellion, the sin of Christ rejection, whatever the sins are that have forged the chains and bound and imprisoned your soul. And they need to be dealt with. And you need to be set free, for God demands the salvation of the sinner. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And sinner, if you're not saved tonight, you stand in great need of redemption. But thank God there's a Savior who's able to save you. He's able to reach out the hand tonight and grasp you and deliver you and to bring you close to himself. Thank God this is the message of the gospel, and it's the message we need to hear. Paul also preached of judgment to come, by which the everlasting state of all the people of the world will be finally and irreversibly determined. Judgment to come. Felix will not always be in the judge's chair or in the place of power, passing verdicts on those who come before him as a Roman governor. My, he's had his day. His day is almost finished, you judging the people and passing sentence, justly or unjustly. There's a day coming, Felix, and he'll understand it when Paul reasons with him of coming judgment, because he'd sat in the judge's chair himself on earth. But there's a great judge of all the earth, and Felix, one day you're going to stand in the dock, and the judge will be the God of heaven. There's judgment coming. There's a day coming, Felix, when you will not be pronouncing the verdict. when you'll not be passing sentence, but God will pass that sentence. God will give the verdict of guilty or not guilty. God will be the judge. My Felix begins to tremble when he hears such preaching. When he realizes that there's a day coming when he, the judge, oh, the Roman judge, is going to be judged himself. My, his knees begin to smite one against the other. His heart begins to quake. And his mind begins to move. And he trembles in the very presence of the preaching of the Word of God. It will be a day of dreadful exposure, Felix, when all the hidden things of darkness will be brought out into the open. They will come to light. When all the secret things will be brought out. What an exposure, Felix, this is going to be for you when your sins march before the judgment seat and they cry out to you, guilty, Felix. You're guilty. Yes, you're guilty. You're condemned. Friend, let me say tonight, there's a judgment day coming. And if you're not saved and washed in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, you're not sheltered beneath the cleansing blood of the Lamb, that judgment day for you will be a day of exposure when all those hidden things of darkness will be brought into the open, when all those secret things will be made public, and when, as a panorama, your sins will march before your very eyes as you stand before the judge of all the earth, only to hear that sentence of condemnation and departure from the presence of Almighty God. Oh, there's a coming judgment. There's a day coming. Men have their day now. Men living in sin have their day now. But God's day is coming. And it's a day of judgment. I'm glad that when that great day of judgment comes, not one sin will rise up from the books in heaven to condemn me. Not one sin will rise up in judgment to condemn my soul. Because of the fact that I've been to Jesus. And I'm washed in the precious blood. Are you saved tonight? As the hymn writer would put it very tenderly and very carefully, have you been to Jesus for the cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Are you fully trusting in His grace this hour? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? Well, I wonder tonight, are you saved? If you don't know pardon for sin and assurance of peace with God, why not come to Christ now? Why not trust Him now and lay aside the garments that are stained by sin and be washed in the blood of the Lamb? There's a fountain flowing for the soul unclean. Oh, be washed in the blood of the Lamb. Felix had a great personal advantage and privilege of not only hearing the gospel, but he also sat under God's power. Sat under the power of God. And you tonight have this wonderful privilege and advantage now of hearing the truth of the gospel, which is the power of God unto salvation. Heard the gospel, such a privilege, what an advantage. Been under the power of God, you've seen your friends or your loved ones perhaps brought to Christ. You've seen the power of God in operation. It may well be that still yourself, you're shut out from the kingdom of God. Unbelief and rejection of Christ closes the door of salvation. Oh, let the word of God come to your heart, that you might be gloriously born again, made over again, made a new creature, a new person in the Lord Jesus. It's a real thing to be saved from sin. It is far better to be saved than to have all the riches of this world, to have all that this world can offer, both in honor and pleasures and possession. It's far better to be saved, because what shall it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose his soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Happy is the man who can say with the psalmist, blessed is he whose transgression is forgiven and whose sin is covered. Oh, what a tremendous advantage, personal advantage that Felix had, hearing the gospel by no less a preacher than the Apostle Paul. You recall your advantage tonight in hearing the gospel, not by the Apostle Paul, but through the very word that God has given us. What a privilege. How do you stand in the light of God's word this evening? That personal advantage which is yours, hearing the glorious message that can meet your need and save your precious soul. We must move on. And secondly, let's look for a moment at his painful anxiety. What impressions Paul's preaching made upon this great but very wicked and sinful man. We're told here that Felix trembled. He was put into a fright. He was made a terror to himself. Paul never trembled before Felix. We don't read that. Apostle Paul, this insignificant creature, coming before such a great person as Felix, didn't tremble in the presence of Felix. Don't read that. But we do read that when Paul begins to preach, with the anointing of the Holy Ghost upon him, here's a sinner trembling in the very presence of God's servant, in the very presence of the Lord. But Felix was made to tremble in the presence of Paul. We don't read that Drusilla trembled, his wife, though she was equally guilty. But Felix could do nothing to pacify his painful, stricken conscience, and therefore he trembled. The power of the word of God was such in his heart that it pricked to the very depths. It even started to stir his soul, that his whole body became a shaking with the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Surely the word of God is a searching word. The word of God is startling. The word of God can strike into the heart of the most proud and stoutest and daring sinner by the setting forth of his sins before him and showing him the terrors of the Lord. And this is exactly what God the Holy Ghost was doing to this man Felix. The prospect of judgment to come was enough to make Felix tremble. And the prospect, sinner, of a coming judgment, you stand in the light of a holy God, is enough to make you tremble, even in this service. And when judgment comes, as indeed it will come, it will make even the mighty men and the chief captains, says the scriptures, to call in vain upon the rocks and the mountains to hide and to shelter and to cover them. Such will be the majesty of such a judgment. Such will be the terror of that judgment for the unsaved. Oh, how Felix trembled as he sat under the power of the word of God. Perhaps there's someone listening in this very service tonight, and you have had that same experience. You know that in order to get to heaven, you must be saved. You must be converted, that your sins must be blotted out. You cannot have your sin and go to heaven. You cannot go to heaven as you are. There must be a change. There must be meeting Christ. There must be conversion. John Bunyan said in writing in one of his books, he said, I found out something greatly important. He says, I found out that sin and me could not walk the road to heaven. He said, I had to get rid of my sin if I was not only to get to heaven, but to walk the road that leads to heaven. And you've got to learn this truth, and I have got to learn this truth, and perhaps too we have learned it. We have heard it and we have trembled and we have been troubled. But like Felix, you're moved, you're trembled, and your moving and your trembling was not unto salvation, but unto further condemnation. Felix trembled, but his trembling didn't lead him to salvation. You can feel the strivings of the Spirit of God. You can know the workings of conviction in your soul and not be born again. That's not salvation. It's not just enough to be convicted of sin and to tremble in the presence of God and in a gospel service. No, that's the step which leads us to conversion. And that's exactly where Felix failed. That's where he stopped short. He trembled. He was convicted. But he didn't take the step of faith in trusting Jesus Christ. And sinner tonight, we need to take that further step of faith under the conviction of the Holy Spirit let us step out and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And believe His very word. And praise God, we shall be saved. Remember, the word of God says, "My spirit shall not always strive with man." You've trembled, but perhaps you're still not saved. Perhaps you can recall a time when God spoke to your heart tenderly. Spoke to your heart clearly and you said no to the blessed Spirit of God. And instead of coming to Christ, you turned away from Him. You went away from God, from peace, from heaven. You went away from the Lord Jesus Christ. And even yet, you're still not saved. How tragic it is when we hear of persons who hear the gospel, as Felix heard it, with such a great privilege and advantage, to come under such power as to tremble and with anxiety about the soul and about eternal life. And to turn your back and to go away from Christ, to be lost. Oh, it's not enough to tremble. It's not enough to weep. It's not enough to be concerned. You've got to come to Jesus Christ. And the promise is to those who come that He will in no wise cast out. And the Bible says, "Come now, let us reason together," says the Lord. "Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as white as snow." Will you come, sinner? Will you trust Him? God knows where you stand tonight. Am I as heaven looks down, the Lord looks into your heart. He knows where you stand in your relationship to God. Have you been to Him? If not, will you not come tonight? Put your trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. Allow the Holy Spirit to trouble your soul. And in troubling your soul, may you find rest as you trust in the blessed Savior. Then last of all, we come to the procrastinating action of Felix. How sad as you read these words. How Felix struggled to shake off the impressions of Paul's preaching made upon him. How he tried to calm the terror of his convictions by postponing the day of his decision. By postponing his decision to follow Christ, he said to Paul, "Go thy way. When I have a convenient season, I will call for thee." And just like Felix, perhaps he never intended to make it a permanent postponement. But that's what it turned out to be. And very politely, he didn't fly in the preacher's face. He didn't disbelieve the word of God as it was preached to him, but very politely, he turns and he says, "When it's more convenient, I'll come to Christ. Business is calling me. The affairs of state are taking up my time just now. I have things to attend to that are on my desk, and I must go and see about them. And just when I have a more convenient time, I'll come and I'll hear more about this, and I'll get saved." Such a lie and deception from the devil. Even to those who mean well, to those tonight who intend to be saved, there's no one in this service who wants to be lost. There's no one in this service who would ever purpose or intend to be lost. One day you intend to come to Christ. But the devil's saying to you now, "Some more convenient time, I'll come. But not tonight. I have things on this week. It's near Christmas time. I have various things to do. I'm too busy. I just can't afford the time. And it'd be easier for me to make a change in my life after Christmas or the new year." But that's the lie of the devil. The Bible says now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. And whosoever hears His voice, harden not your heart. This is the time. God says now. Come now. As for Felix, he trembled. But that was all. We read in Acts chapter 9 where Paul trembled. We also read in Acts chapter 16 where the Philippian jailer trembled. But praise God, on these two occasions, their trembling led to conversion. Led to a personal encounter with Jesus Christ. Led to salvation. led to everlasting life. And if you're trembling this evening under the preaching of the Word of God, be like Paul and the Philippian jailer. Cry out, what must I do to be saved? The answer of the Word of God is simply this: believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. How simple is the way. Even the wayfaring man, though a fool, he need not err therein. Take Jesus Christ tonight. Oh, Felix trembled, but Felix did not come to Christ. He procrastinated. Oh, the voice of Drusilla perhaps allured him away from God, away from his convictions, down the road to perdition, and shut out the voice of God forever. Oh, I wonder what's going to shut out the voice of God in your soul tonight. Is it some little pleasure, trifling thing? Don't let it close God out of your life. Say to him now, I am coming, Lord, to thee, just as I am without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee. O Lamb of God, I come. Will you come? Will you hear the gospel? Will you be saved? Will you trust the Lord Jesus Christ? Make sure that you're in Christ tonight. Flee to him now for salvation. Wash in the blood stream which flows from the hill of Calvary. Hide in the precious wounds of Christ. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. The present time is undoubtedly, without any shadow of doubt, the most convenient time that you've got to come to Christ. There'll never be a more convenient season in your life than this present moment in which we're living. Come now and commit your life to Jesus. Trust your soul to him for salvation. Give him your heart and give him your all. Just step out upon the promise tonight. That promise that to as many as receive him, to them give he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe in his name. If you step out in that promise tonight, you'll become a child of God, an inheritor of his kingdom, brought into the fellowship and into the family of the children of the Lord. What a glorious experience. May that be yours this evening. May the joy of the Lord be yours tonight. And may the joy of this precious season be the joy that floods your soul of not only learning of Christ, his coming, his birth at Bethlehem, but you'll know by experience the saving power of that one who came, as you trust him as your own Savior tonight. May the Lord help you to come, and may he save your precious soul and bless you for his name's sake. Amen.